Good morning, church. Welcome to worship. I'm glad that you've all joined us here today, and I pray that this will be a time of speaking to our hearts, God speaking to us, and us responding to what He is calling us to. You know, there's a story of a young girl who accepted Christ as her Savior, and she applied for membership at a local church. An older deacon asked her, "Were you a sinner before you received the Lord?" "Yes, sir," she replied. "Well, are you still a sinner?" "To tell you the truth," she said, "I feel I'm a greater sinner than ever." "Then what real change have you experienced?" he asked. "I don't quite know how to explain it," she said, "except I used to be a sinner running after sin. But now that I'm saved, I'm a sinner running from sin." She was received into fellowship of the church, and she proved by her consistent life that she was truly converted. The talk today is about Christ, our sanctifier, and I think sometimes we here at CMA maybe get a little tired of hearing about the fourfold gospel. We know that Christ is our Savior. We know that He's our sanctifier. He's our healer and our coming King. But I think sometimes because we're so familiar with it, that we tend to kind of start blocking it out and not letting it sink in. This paper was something that was required for me to write for school. And so this is kind of a version of that, but it's something that speaks deeply to my heart. And it is a desire that I have for each one of you and each Christian in the world to have in their life, to know Christ as our sanctifier, to know what that looks like. Let's pray before we dive into that. Father God, as we come to you this morning, we thank you so much that you are God, you are over all. You have known us before the foundation of the world. You have called each one of us by name. You've created each one of us for purpose and for relationship with you. Lord, as we dive into this message of you being our sanctifier, I ask, Father, that you would teach us more of that. Use this time to search our hearts and speak deeply into us and call us into a closer walk with you. We pray, Father, that you will be done in us and through us always for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are many big words and doctrines in Christianity that are so easy for us to just breeze over and not dive into knowing what they are and understanding what they mean for the life in Christ. And one of these doctrines is Christ our sanctifier. Most of us have a pretty general idea of what that means and that we should be living in certain ways that reveal sanctification in our lives, but many of us don't really know what that looks like in our everyday lives. Too often, we can't give a definition or examples of the sanctified life. I sometimes think it's hard to understand the concept of sanctification because there's two parts of it. There's this crisis in our lives, and then there's this ongoing progression that ends only when this life is over. We often fail to understand that we are to move away from who we were before we surrendered to Christ and become a new being, a new person. Many times we read from the Bible different verses about our life in Christ and living in the Spirit, but we don't realize that it's only when in faith we apply those commands and teachings to our lives that we are living the sanctified life. It's in following the Lord's commands, it's obeying Him through His power that we begin to see the fruit of sanctification growing in us and flowing through us. Every follower of Jesus Christ has a story of sanctification to share. You have one, I have one, every believer has one to share. And I believe it's important for us to know how to recognize the work of sanctification in our own lives and also in the lives of others. We should be able to engage in holiness in the lives of other Christ followers, receiving the blessing of the Holy Spirit from their lives and pouring that effectiveness from our life into theirs as well. When I study something, I always like to just dive in and just look at the word itself. What does it mean? and what does that mean for our lives? So let's tackle that first, the big question. What is sanctification? So when we look at scriptures, we can clearly see that each one of us comes into this world with a sinful nature. We are naturally in opposition to God. We naturally seek our own glory. That nature is explained in Romans 8, 5 to 8. And you might want to turn there. We're going to be jumping all over the place, but Romans 8 is where we're going to pull a lot of things from to look at today. But in Romans 8, again, verses 5 to 8, we find phrases like this. Those who live according to the flesh. To set the mind on the flesh is death. Hostile to God. Does not submit to God, and the flesh cannot please God. These are things that reveal the very core of who we were before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And this is addressing what we call the old man, who and what we were before we were saved by Jesus. This rebellion and the separation from God is the issue that is confronted in sanctification. Christ, as our sanctifier, addresses the very large problem that we are separated from God because of our sinfulness. So how does God handle this problem? In Romans 8, jump up to verse 2, and we read there, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Did you catch that right there? Jesus Christ has delivered us. He has set us free, and he reveals here what happens to the flesh. It is overcome. Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death, our very nature when we are born into the world. And when we surrender to his lordship over our lives, he sets us free from the power of sin with which we were born. Our natural state, the flesh, the old man, is made powerless. But what does this look like in a practical way for our lives? There are two elements, if you will, of sanctification. There's positional sanctification, and then there's progressive sanctification. The first, positional, speaks of that moment when we first surrender to Jesus Christ. In that very instant, we are viewed by God differently. Again, in Romans 8, verse 9, Paul says it this way, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you." So in this stark contrast of positions, flesh versus spirit, we see that God moves us from one state of existence to another, from being in the flesh to being in the Spirit of God. The second element of sanctification is progressive. Romans 12, just a few chapters back, and verse 2 uses two words that describe this, transformed and renewal. And both of these words give the impression of an ongoing process. It's not just a one-time thing. So with these two points here, these two verses, we can see that there's a crisis of sanctification. There's a point where we're taken from one place and put in another. And then there's the progression of sanctification, that ongoing work of Christ in us. So let's dive a little deeper into each one of the elements of sanctification. When we take that first step of surrender and dedication to following Jesus, that's the crisis point of sanctification. Jesus moves us from unrighteous to righteous. Because we accept what he has done on the cross to pay for our sins, he takes us from the position of sin and death and sets us apart for God. This is known as positional sanctification. Jesus removes us from the position of lost and puts us into the position of saved. He takes us from unholy and puts us into holiness, from unrighteousness to righteous, from, dare we say, we unacceptable to God to fully acceptable to him, from being ineffectual in his work to becoming very valuable vessels for his use. From birth, each one of us by nature is on the path of destruction. We're born into it. That's just where we go. But when we come into agreement with God about who we are, who he is, and what he has done for us, Jesus takes us off of that path and puts us on the sanctified road. We were in bondage to sin, but we are now free to be all that God has created us to be. Galatians 5 begins with this verse. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. This is a very important truth for us to grasp for the sanctified life, and I think it's something that we often don't pursue, often don't embrace in our lives. We don't have to continually give in to sin. God has given us another choice. We have been set free in Jesus Christ. Because of what he has done, we are free to live in holiness, the righteousness and the sanctification that he has provided for us. Paul reminds us too in Romans 7, verses 4 to 6, that we are dead to the law so that we may bear fruit in God's kingdom. So from all of this, we see that there is a distinct before and after of positional sanctification. We were in one state of existence, but we were transplanted to a different state of existence. As we look into the second element of sanctification, the progressive part, we will see that it is very different than the first part. Progressive sanctification is every act of God in our lives after we receive positional sanctification, which conforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. That's a mouthful, so I'm going to read that again. Repeat that again. Progressive sanctification is every act of God in our lives after we receive positional sanctification, which conforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus moves us from unsanctified to sanctified, he also begins within us a work of changing our hearts and our ways. We were living for the flesh, the old man, serving self. Galatians 2:20 states well how we are to live after the initial crisis of sanctification. Galatians 2:20, the first part says, I have been crucified with Christ. There's your positional. That's the crisis, crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're living by faith. That's the progressive. It's an ongoing thing. And God begins a work in us that changes how we live, and our lives begin to take on a whole new look. This new look begins to flow from our lives as we abide in Christ, and consequently, he begins to bring fruit forth from our lives. In Hebrews 10, verses 9 and 10, we find that Christ has finished his part of sanctification. His work is complete. We find also here that we are being sanctified. But how do we live in progressive sanctification? Jesus says in John 15, 4 and 5, and we're all familiar with this. This is one of Sean's favorite verses and one of the things that he calls us to very often. John 15, verses 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you, Jesus says. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Here it's made clear that abiding in Christ is vital for sanctification. He is our source for the sanctified life. And if we do not abide in him, that progressive sanctification will struggle to survive. However, when we rely on what he has done for us, believe what he has said, obey his word, and submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit within us, we find that we are just growing in his grace. It's just a natural, it just naturally flows from the Spirit within us and us surrendering to his guidance. Our lives and everything that flows from our lives begins to look more and more like the life of Jesus Christ. The old man, the flesh, that nature that we were born with is consistently becoming less and less powerful. And the Spirit is gaining more control over our lives. We learn from Romans 12, 2, that the goal of sanctification is to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, to live the life of Christ. So to be able to be transformed, we need to understand what that is and how to accomplish that goal. And as we look into the life of Christ, and what that means, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, please know that we're only going to begin to touch what this means and what it looks like. The very nature of sanctification is that we are continually growing in it. And each person will observe the growth of sanctification, but it will look very different for each of us as we face our own personal experiences, pains, joys, weaknesses, and strengths. The common thing that we will find, however, is that each of us will begin to look more and more like Jesus Christ. Our lives will align more to the Father's will and less to our sinful nature. One of the first things that sanctification requires of us is to die to the old man. We can't stay where we are and change at the same time. And so often we try to do that. We hold on to who we were, what we were, and try to be a new person at the same time. And of course, that doesn't work. Colossians 1, 20 to 22 speaks of being reconciled or brought back into perfect harmony with God through the death of Jesus Christ. For us to embrace sanctification, we must become one with Jesus in his death. He died for our sins so that we can die to our sins. Christ paid the penalty by dying on the cross for everything that God in his righteous judgment held against us. And we are called to identify with that death. Romans 6:3 describes this identification as being baptized into his death, into Christ's death. We are to be totally immersed in Christ's death, just as one is immersed in water at the time of baptism. Throughout Romans 6:1 to 11, I'm going to pull out some more phrases, just jumping through there to see what this means to help explain for us to understand. But to identify with Christ's death, Romans 6 uses things like died to sin, buried with him, with Christ, united with Christ in a death like this. Our old self was crucified, the body of sin brought to nothing. We died with Christ, and consider yourselves dead to sin. Jesus gives us a beautiful example in John 5, verse 19, of what it looks like to die to the flesh. The Son can do nothing of his own accord, Jesus says, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. You see, Jesus recognized that he could not walk with the Father in the strength of the flesh. He used the phrase, his own accord. Jesus, the flesh part of him, needed to die to that power and choose instead to walk in the power of obedience to the Father. This is needed in our lives as well as we grow into the deeper life of the Lord. From identifying with Jesus in his death, we move into becoming one with him in his resurrection and ascension. Returning to Romans 6, we find the call to identify with him in these two areas as well. In verse 4, we find that we have available to us the possibility of walking in a new way. If we will identify with Jesus in his death, we can identify with him in his resurrection as well. You see, Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead. After 3 days, we all know that he came forth from the dead, and he does that same thing in our lives. When we crucify the old man with him, Christ then raises us, the very core, the very spirit within us that wants to connect with him. He raises us from the dead. In verse 9, we see there too that death no longer has dominion over us. We identify with this death from a natural perspective. That's kind of easy for us to understand, but we must make sure that we apply this in our spiritual lives as well. By dying with Christ, we died to sin. Now we live in a spiritual aliveness. Sin is dead to us. It is no longer the controlling force of our lives. We have died to sin and now live to God. That's stated in Romans 6:10. It's in choosing to believe that Christ's work is complete and that we can identify with him in his death and the resurrection, that then we move into identifying with him in his resurrection. I'm sorry, in his ascension. I believe the key to identifying with Christ in his ascension is found in his ascension is found in verse 9 as well. We find there that sin no longer has dominion over us. Now, while we live in the flesh, we're still going to have temptations, but we don't have to give in to them. We have been given the power to live above them. Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, rising above, victorious over the power and presence of sin. While we continue to live here, we will have the option, we will always have the option to live above the power of sin. And one day, when we go home to heaven, we will rise above the presence of sin. As we begin to identify with the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, we very quickly realize that we don't have the power to accomplish any of this, any part of sanctification on our own. If we're honest with ourselves, we realize that we cannot even die to the old man on our own power. We have to pull the power from a source other than ourselves. Jesus promised that he would send us a helper. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, we read of the arrival of this helper in Acts 2, on what is known as the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came forth from God and took up residence in mankind for the first time. In Acts 2, verse 4, we read that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. As we read through the whole book of Acts, there's many, many examples of what it looks like when Christ's followers are filled with the Holy Spirit. We see men and women dying to the flesh and living by the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. If we stop by chapter 4 in the book of Acts, we find a very, very powerful experience of the Holy Spirit's work in and through the apostles. There was Peter and John, who were just ordinary, uneducated men, but they stood in boldness before the religious leaders and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their very lives were threatened, but they had already died to the flesh, and they lived in the power of the Spirit. They continued to preach Jesus, allowing the Spirit to have free course in them and through them. Romans 8 explains more in detail what this means for our lives. In verse 11, we find the promise that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within each of his followers. This should bring us great confidence to allow the Spirit to lead us. We should always be emboldened by that statement that the Spirit is willing and within us to lead us. And when we recognize and realize the power of the Spirit that is inside of us, we can begin to believe that nothing Satan throws at us can ever deter us or hinder our walk with the Lord. As the work of sanctification grows in our lives, our personal spirit begins to come into communion with the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit coming into us, and the very core, the very Spirit within us, begin to come together as one. And this shows that the very core of who and what we are is changed by the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Being changed at the very core of who and what we are is one of the evidences of sanctification. The old man is gone. The new life has come. We believe differently than we did before. We think differently. We act differently. And these things that come from our lives become more and more like who and what Jesus is when he walked on earth with us. We begin to see the fruit of the Spirit coming in and changing us and then flowing out to other people. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control begin to take the place of the old man that was in us but that has been removed. God transforms our abilities into gifts. So he takes what we are able to do and he uses them then for the special and specific works in his kingdom. And sometimes he'll even put that ability that we've never been able to do before, and he will bring that up within us and it will flow out of us just because he chooses to do that in us, and we surrender to his guidance. 1 Corinthians 12 speaks of what some of these gifts are and teaches us how they are to be used. This part of sanctification will also look different in every life. God chooses what gift is given to whom. And there are many gifts, even the same gift in two lives will look differently. This is what God chooses too. This is because God chooses too, each gift in each life and what it's used for. Sadly, these gifts are often misused by mankind. We as humans tend to elevate one gift above another, and probably the most commonly faulty teaching about the gifts of the Spirit relates to speaking in tongues. There are many teachings that claim that this is the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. This, however, is not biblical, and we need to be aware of the spiritual damage this teaching can do to other people. Speaking in tongues is very biblical, but the Bible does not lift this gift to any higher plane than any other gift. I think the main concern about the spiritual gifts in our lives needs to be that we are in tune with the Holy Spirit in such a way that we recognize what the gifts are and we are willing to embrace them, using them effectively in God's kingdom. It's also important to know the work of sanctification in our own personal lives. We should be able to look back over our lives and see the work of the Spirit and how he has made us more and more like Jesus Christ. And that progression should be very evident. When I was 8 years old, God gave me a specific dream in which I had to make a choice between my dad and God. In the dream, I gave my life to God. I followed him. I chose him. And when I woke from that dream that night, I confirmed that I would follow God wherever he led me. From that moment, I knew something was different inside of me. I didn't really have any personal mentoring of scripture available to me, but from that night forward, I knew that I had a special purpose. And looking back on that night, I now recognize that that was the moment that I was taken out of unsanctified and placed into sanctification through Jesus Christ. And one of the earliest memories in my life of progressive sanctification came soon after I was baptized at the age of 15. I was a very angry child, and I often allowed that anger to come out on my siblings and on other children. And one day, my mom walked in on such an incident. But instead of punishing me, she quietly said, "That is not who you are anymore." And just that little phrase struck a chord deep into my heart, revealing my anger as sin, and that then began the work of cleansing anger from my life. God has continued to deal with such issues in my heart and in my actions, and I know this work will continue all my life, ending only when my time in the flesh is completed. And I'm okay with that, because it's the promised work of sanctification. Christ, our sanctifier, is a deep subject, but it is comprehensible. We have to believe that we can understand and we can live sanctification. Yes, it does take effort, and it takes sacrifice on our part. It requires that we die to ourselves. We must give up control of our lives and release that control to the Holy Spirit. However, as we align our lives to the leading of the Spirit, we begin reaping, knowing the release from the bondage of sin and the freedom that is found only through walking in the Spirit. We begin to look more and more like Jesus and become more useful in his kingdom. As we return to the story at the beginning of the young girl who recognized more and more that she was a sinner, after she gave her life to Christ, I wonder often, how deep do we look at our hearts? How often do we stop and look at our lives to see if they're matching up with the life of Christ? How often do we stop and look back over our lives and stop and consider, are we any different than when we first gave our life to Christ? Is there more evidence of the Spirit? Is there growth to be more like Christ? Is the world further behind me than it was when I first surrendered to Jesus? So with her, may we each find ourselves, now that we are saved, a sinner running from sin. Let's pray. Father, sometimes it feels like you call us to huge things. It seems that you call us into the impossible. And yet you would never call us where you do not enable us to walk. So thank you that Christ is our sanctifier. Help us to understand and forever praise you for that moment that you took us out of unsanctified and placed us into sanctification. Thank you for changing us. Help us to understand, and even if we don't understand, help us to believe that you did that. Father, as we go out and face the world, may we each take Jesus with us. Actually, let's allow Jesus to take us into the world and show the world who you are and that you want to reach into their lives. You want to move them from lost to saved, from unsanctified to sanctified, from unholy to holy, from unacceptable to accepted in Christ Jesus. Open our eyes to the opportunities around us. Help us to move in the boldness of Jesus Christ so that others might be reconciled, might be brought into harmony with you. Father, we love you so much. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.